The Shining Wizards podcast is intended for entertainment purposes only. Opinions expressed by the host and guest are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the podcast or its affiliates. Content may include adult language or themes and is not suitable for all audiences. Viewer and listener discretion is advised.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live in high-definition video and available on all podcasting and streaming platforms. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Check out our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Do your Amazon shopping at amazon.shiningwizards.com. And become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. And now, it's time for the Shining Wizards.
This is the Triple X Sex Express Sex Yeti. Ladies know, when I'm not having a sausage party, I'm watching the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Welcome to episode 801 of the Shining Wizards podcast. Mom and Dad are away. As you can see, the production is great already, and they left the kids in charge. So tonight, we got some WWE talk as Obafemi said Noba to his title shot. We got AEW where we may see the last title shot of Kenny Omega's career. Plus, we got JCW, MLW, whatever's left of TNA, and so much more. For some wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Brando.
Double T. Tony. And some Kevin.
All right. We are here and we are queer. What's going on, man?
Well, it's funny you said, like, the parents are away, and I feel that, man. Like they're gone. Now we can watch as much gay porn, regular porn that we want. We can put on the big screen with the volume all the way up.
Don't show me a good time.
I will show
all in on that.
I will show you a good time, and I will be all up in you. Brundlefly.
Yes.
4th of July, man. Talk to me about the 4th of July. Did you have a great one? Did you enjoy it?
I think so. Yeah, it was only about 104 here in northern New Jersey. Nice. So it was a nice and hot one. Oh, yeah.
Sounds fucking horrible.
Worse for my wife. She was in two parades that day.
Oh, why two?
Well, in my town, they have a parade for children. Okay. And they can make, like, you make little floats and the best. Yeah, not bucked children.
Okay, right. I say a lot of vans, right?
Yeah.
A lot of home boxes.
Yeah, so you can make, like, floats and stuff, and they get judged and whatever, and there are prizes or whatnot.
Okay.
So it's a nice little fun thing they've done forever. And then they have the normal parade, which is the longest-running parade in New Jersey, third in the U.S., 132 years and going.
Does she like doing this, or is this something that she's, like, voluntold to do?
Well, for the kids' parade, she's a kids teacher, like a preschool. Oh,
yeah.
So, like, her preschool always pretty much leads it off.
Yeah. All right. That's cool.
And then she enjoys the other one as well.
Really? I hate parades, man.
Really? Like,
they're always the same thing. It's always the same thing. You got the fire truck guy comes through, a police guy comes through, political assholes come through. Everybody yes. waves. You throw candy, and then it's over, right?
I like the marching bands. Like they have marching bands for like firemen, policemen, all that stuff, and they play a hell of a bagpipe and you know the drums or whatnot. I'm always a fan of that.
Like the Shriners coming through, kind of a thing. You're into that?
I've never seen a Shriner.
Okay.
In 44 years of parades.
You ever been in a parade, Brenda Fly?
Absolutely. I have. I marched with the Boy Scouts when I was younger and baseball.
Okay.
And you? I carried a flag through the parade.
That's not all you carried. Did you throw shit out?
It wasn't a pride flag. Sorry, Julio. I never threw.
Different kind of pride. It's
that pride is every day.
Did you throw shit out while you were in the parade, Brenda Fly?
No, I mean, while I'm carrying the flag, it was a pretty fucking big flag, so.
Okay.
There was no throwing anything, and the other one, I was probably 7 or 8 years old, so I'm not throwing anything. I'm keeping it for myself.
Golly. See, I've been in two parades.
Okay.
One I had to carry the flag, right? Was a flag guy as well. You and I, a couple of flagmen. And yes. Then the other one, I was on a float with one of the bands that I played in. And we didn't throw candy, man. We don't throw candy off of our float. We threw beers. So there was beer, beers and some whiskey, right? That's what we threw out on our, we're pretty happy about that.
There was a float that actually got told to hand out there. They were throwing out gushers and like fruit roll-ups or something like that. And they were throwing so many. They got told like, please just hand these out. You guys are annihilating the children.
Oh no, you gotta start hawking, man. You gotta get unsuspecting people. Do you remember there was a hockey player named Phil Housley? Does this name ring a bell at all?
Does not.
He was a defenseman. He might have played for the Winnipeg Jets at some point. Okay. Anyways, his wife was running for office in the state of Minnesota, and she came through. And we used to live, my wife and I lived on the parade route. And as they were coming through, we might have had super soakers that we carried. And so we were spraying people back is what we were doing. And she was coming.
Oh, nice.
She was so nice. And she came up to, she's like, please, please don't spray it. Just please don't. And my buddy goes, I would never. You're beautiful. And she goes, watch. And then he fucking doused her.
Oh, jeez.
I was like, man, that's Phil Housley's wife. And he goes, holy shit.
Great.
It was fucking amazing. Did you get did you barbecue at all, Brenda Fly?
Hold on, before that, MB, yeah, I'm used to parades or whatnot, but a lot of like the surrounding towns send like their fire stuff into our parade or ambulance corps and all that stuff, so not every town around here does it, just mine. But I went to a barbecue. One of my friends throws a huge barbecue every year. So many people show up. They cook all day. They have a big pool. He does it amazing. He had 74 people come to it over the day this time.
That's quite a few.
Yeah.
You get yourself some slaw while you were there?
I did not get any slaw.
No slaw, no a dog, a burg. What was your go-to while you're there?
Had a couple of hot dogs, had a couple of burgers, and my friend's wife makes unbelievable London broil. So,
London broil.
Got a couple of slices of that. That was good stuff. And me and my friends ate corn the long way.
Oh, of course. I do that too. I do that too. Baby J is wondering where Double T is right here, motherfucker. Double T. he also asked about Tony. Hold on. I can get that one back. Tony. We're all here.
You kind of look like X-Pac there.
We're all here, Baby J. Don't worry about it, man. Everything's good. So I had myself, I think I broke my record over this past weekend, Brenda Fly. Yeah, I think I broke my record. Rancho Loco was, I spent a little time there, Brenda Fly.
Nothing like celebrating the 4th of July with a Honduras restaurant.
Why not, man? You know, America's not the only country that celebrates holidays, the 4th of July, right? A lot of other countries celebrate things. On the
Yeah, 4th. Mexican Independence Day. It's called Cinco de Mayo.
No, I'm saying, well, yeah. That's,
I'm
that's,
joking, by the way. That's, yeah.
I was going to say, that's a different day, but no fly. It's not the 4th of July. but the Thursday, man, Thursday, I got, I ordered it for the office for lunch. And then Molly and I went out for dinner. Well, then Molly left Friday morning, and man's got to eat. So I went Friday for lunch, right? I took to-go food because I knew I wasn't going back Saturday. And Saturday, I also had Ranch Loco because I had my to-go orders, right? Molly gets home Sunday morning. She unloads all of her shit, packs up, and we get her to a couple towns over because she's meeting her friend there. I said, we're going over there anyways. Why don't you have lunch with me at Rancho Loco? She says, yeah, of course. So I had lunch at Rancho Loco, and I also took two to-go orders, and I had lunch today from Rancho Loco, and I have my other to-go order tomorrow for Rancho Loco. Brundlefly, that is, I think it was like 8 meals or something like that.
Does your wife really like this place as much as you? Because I really hope she does.
She loves it.
Okay, good. Good. As long as she does and you're not like dragging her every time. Hey, this is, honey, Rancho Loco.
No. I mean, so I can eat the same thing, man, over and over and over again. It's like, it doesn't fucking bother me at all. Right.
Yeah,
we
can tell.
What does that mean?
It means you've gone to Rancho Loco 8 meals. <anyway.
laughs> So, and I can eat the tacos every day over and over. Like, it doesn't bother me. Molly's more of like a, let's try this and try this and try this. I'm not trying all that shit. I'm not trying. Tropical, I will kick your ass. All right, motherfucker, you son of a bitch. I will. It's not mid. He's mid. All right. He's a jokester.
If anything, I don't think Al is mid.
What do you think he is?
Extra large.
Okay, there you go. But I'll go over and over again. It's not gonna bother me at all. Molly, every now and again, will be like, "Hey, you can go, but I want to go somewhere else." Or she'll go with a friend. I'll be like, "You know what? That's perfectly fine. Perfectly fine, babe. I'll be at Rancho Loco." So that's good. Did you take in fireworks, Brundlefly?
No, it rained really, really bad out here. Like, good. Super bad. Like, we had to shut down the barbecue like instantly because the the lightning alarm goes off, it's super windy, and then my ride home, there were like tree branches down everywhere. It was one of those things where you like the visibility is like right in front of you and that's it.
Okay.
So that kind of canceled all the fireworks out here.
I wish we had that here, man. I wish we had that here. I fucking hate, like, don't get me wrong. If you want to go to a fireworks show, go to a fireworks show. But you know how I feel about the amateur pyrotechnicians throughout my neighborhood, man. I hope they all blow their dicks off. I hope they blow their dicks off. Yeah. I was talking to my wife on the phone, and she goes, "Is there a lot of fireworks going off right now? And there's been fireworks all like, I wanted to go see Tony on Saturday. Tony's in the state here, and I wanted to go see him. I was like, hell yeah, it's gonna be awesome. We'll go see Tony. They fucking started firing off the fireworks. My dog can't hang. Like, she cannot. handle being around it. So I'm like, well, there's my day. I spent more time with my dog in the master bedroom over the weekend. It was basically that. Rancho Loco, get home, master bedroom with the dog. Rancho Loco, get home, man. Like, it was sucked, man. It sucked. And I told my wife when I was on the phone with them, I really, really fucking hope there's a tragedy. I hope tragedy strikes in our county, because that's what it'll take to get rid of them, man. To get rid of them. But I was able to take in a little bit of wrestling, Brundlefly.
Would you call your week Rancho Ocho?
You know, that is not bad. It probably was the Rancho Ocho. I like that. Oh, also, Baby J, shout out to Maurice, who I think they probably just call him Mo, yeah?
Yeah, there's a Maurice at my job we call Mo, so it's possible.
Yeah, I think he called Maurice Mo. Wrestling, Brundlefly. Wrestling, man. There's a lot of different things that went on, a lot of news. I think the big news is probably Sheamus, yeah?
Yeah, I would say so. Sheamus, WWE, I mean, like, the big news could even be happening tonight. as Cody and Sami Zayn are wrestling for the title tonight. But yeah, let's hit Sheamus first.
All right, man. Talk.
I don't want to hit Sheamus, but you know.
You sure.
I've seen the way he hits people, so I'm not hitting him.
What do you? So the news broke. Sheamus isn't resigning, or wasn't unwilling to renegotiate, however you want to look at it, or however it happened. And they said, no, you know, just we'll see you later. He said, we'll see you later. It seems like it probably is a little bit more amicable than a lot of the splits, you know, when it's just like, hey, this isn't going to work out. I'm not going to negotiate to where you guys want me to be, and they're not going to negotiate to where he wants to be, and that's fine. Sometimes it works out that way.
I mean, that's...
I don't see a loss in him leaving. I really fucking don't.
Yeah. I mean, I always really enjoyed Sheamus. He was one of my favorites from the beginning, but they haven't put him at the top of the card in quite a lot of years. But he was one of those solid guys in the upper mid card where, you know, you need a match to make people care about. Throw Sheamus out there. No matter who he fought, it was always, he always could get the crowd going. He was a favorite. I know there's probably other guys like that still there, but it felt like he was always going to be there because he was one of Triple H's guys for years.
Yeah. I think when you start thinking about like that, because he missed a lot of time throughout his time there as well.
Especially recently, yeah. He's definitely missed a lot of time.
And I mean, outside of the stuff that he did with, who's it, the Brawling Brutes, he had that stable going for a little bit. I never got into. Like, he had great the matches that you expected him to have. You know what I mean? At that point in his career. He had the hard hitting, you know, big time, big guys, you know, just bashing the shit out of each other matches, which filled a void on the card. But like, nobody's clamoring like, why is Sheamus leaving? Like, have you noticed that? Like, R-Truth is leaving, and what happens? We want R-Truth. Sheamus is leaving. Nobody's saying shit. He's gone, which tells me that like he didn't maybe connect with as much of the audience as we think he might have.
Either that, or people are just getting used to it. You know, the New Day, all the people from earlier this year that left, who was it? The Wyatt Sixes. Mm-hmm. I can't even remember. There were so many.
Yeah.
So maybe people are just getting used. Oh, okay. You know, Sheamus is gone. Kofi was here for 18 years. He's gone. So unless it's like a true, like if Seth left or CM Punk, well, maybe not him, but. Yeah, or Sami Zayn or somebody like that left. Okay, that might make people be surprised, but
yeah. But I mean, even after when he came back this last time and people made fun of him for, you know, cultivating some mass before he came back, and then he, you know, he trimmed back down, like there wasn't a spot for him. Like there wasn't a spot for him within the car with the guys that they have there now. So I really I don't find
Fox says it, Sheamus and Gunther. They had a hell of a feud. Tom is right.
A few years ago? A few years ago.
That's right.
And Gunther's fucking great with everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, Gunther got good matches with Jey Uso. You know what I mean?
Like, good point.
It's a Gunther thing. And nothing against Sheamus. I was never a huge Sheamus guy. He had the spot for his time. He had his little championship run there. I think that the stuff they did with Cesaro, with the bar, that was a kind of a neat tag team that they had for a while. And then it was over, and he kind of got lost in the shuffle again, injuries and all that kind of stuff. I just don't see a spot for him right now, and things, you know, obviously you could write spots for him, but I just don't see it. And I don't think that him leaving is a major loss. I don't think he's not a major merchandise mover or anything like that. I doubt he ever has been.
Yeah, probably not. Maybe top 10 at one point. Maybe not even actually.
Yeah. I just,
yeah. I mean, enough. Like I said, I'm a big fan. Always have been a big fan. Right. Loved his match. I'm more of like, I love the matches and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I could see why, like Brian Alvarez said, they're not willing to spend as much money as they used to on these guys. Like Jameis is kind of an aging talent.
Yeah,
he's not getting any younger. I think he's 48. They said.
Oh, I was gonna say it was 43 or 48. I couldn't remember. 48 might be right. Now, yeah. So I mean, where is there a spot you want to see Sheamus? I mean, ultimately, he should go wherever he's happy.
48. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing him in AEW.
Okay.
But because I think I'd like to see him have great matches with some of the guys there. I think he could have great stories as well with some of the guys there. I wouldn't mind seeing Sheamus and MJF. Sheamus and Andrade. I'd have to think through the place, but of all the landing spots, I don't think he's going to land in TNA. I don't think he's going to. I think he's going to be priced out of MLW.
Maybe.
And NWA. Kyle with it. Sheamus G1 run. I would fucking love that.
So that's
be a run in New Japan.
New Japan seems like the spot that would be able to, one, afford him and two.
See, I don't think they really could afford him anymore.
Oh, really? Okay.
Because they're not, if you look at it, they're not really spending as much money on the American talent anymore.
Gotcha.
Yeah. All the talent that's over there, like, basically just live there, where Cal Newman, Drilla Maloney, Gabe Kidd isn't really a G1 guy or a New Japan guy anymore.
Okay.
So,
interesting.
Yeah.
See, and I think that, like, and I'm admittedly, you know, I run pretty hot and cold and generally usually pretty cold on AEW at this point, but like bringing him in to me doesn't make any sense whatsoever at all, because I don't know where you already have a handful of talent and like that you're not featuring on a super bloated roster because you have the ROH guys that you parade in here and there, and you have, you know, their roster is too big.
Yeah.
It's just too big. So
that's true.
I don't know that you're going to bring a guy like him in and he's going to take away TV time from how many other guys that are just there. What do you throw him in the Don Callis family? That'd be fucking sweet, right? That's what they need.
I don't know about that.
Or does he, you know, having the Sheamus and Cesaro be, you know, part of the Death Riders? Are you going to shake that out? But then you're doing more ex-WWE stuff in AEW, which at a certain point they really have to get away from.
Yeah. I think we're going to see pretty soon how much ex-WWE guys they bring in, because all those guys are pretty much just about time for them to be open to go.
Yeah.
Like, what's his name? Apollo Crews showed up in TNA a couple of weeks ago at the pay-per-view.
Yuhu Nation. Yoo-hoo Nation. Yeah, he's awesome.
So, I mean, that means, like, these guys are going to be out there pretty soon.
I like the thought of him going to MLW, but MLW is high on my list right now.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, if they're doing a giant reset in TNA, why not? Like, why not?
Is it still, like, TNA... Or is that still a landing place? Oh, I guess with Yuha Nation... Mm-hmm. They could still get guys there, but
yeah. I mean, it's definitely possible.
Short contracts too, so yeah. You could see Sheamus go there for 6 months.
Why not? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why
they need somebody at this point.
yeah, and I think that everybody, the thought I think for the most people is as soon as somebody leaves WWE, like, oh, AEW. Like, what can he do in AEW? But
yeah,
like, look at their roster, man. They have to start cutting people. Like, there's just fucking too many people and not enough TV.
Yeah.
I mean, unless maybe Sheamus is going to be ROH champion. Yeah, maybe.
Hey, he's got to beat Bandito. Bandito's catching up to Bruno. Yeah. I think he's about halfway there at this point, 450 days or something.
Miserable. What was the other one? Eric Young cut from TNA, yeah?
He asked for his release and got it.
Oh, he asked for it?
Yeah. He asked for his release, and the rumor is he's going back to WCW. Geez,
I was gonna say, what the fuck are you talking about?
He's going back to not WWE but NXT. He's
Somebody called the juice box.
So yeah, he's gonna be a player coach like Sean Spears kind of is.
Good for him. Good for him. Yeah. I think,
and if that's what he wants to do, mm-hmm. good for him.
Yeah, I think H was always kind of a fan of his. From what I understand, which is probably, you know, he probably got the Kevin Nash has always been a fan of his, so it kind of just here now you be a fan of him too. So being that player coach, he doesn't even need to be a player at this point in his career. I think he just kind of sit back and coach. I think he'd be just fine.
I think the way like Spears is doing it, like he has people underneath him. He's kind of like a leader of a stable, but he's bringing guys around and giving them the rub. Kind of,
right. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, ultimately, like,
do you remember he actually was re-signed in like 22 mm-hmm. or 2022 or whatnot? I had forgotten that they mentioned that.
Yeah,
re-signed and he left right away.
Yeah, it was a quick shot. I remember that. It was like when Bischoff took over Raw or SmackDown.
Well, I think he didn't want to work for Vince. He said,
"Interesting." Now he doesn't have to.
When Vince came back, now he definitely doesn't have to.
Yeah, and I don't mind him leaving because again, if TNA is doing the reset like full on, just fucking full on, do it. Like they're going nuclear on it. So just go nuclear on it. Just blow the whole fucking thing up. Restart. If Dog's their guy, let Dog create, right? Just let him run with it. He seems like a creative guy. Let him create. Let him grow. Have they announced
he's not even fully signed? No, he's not even fully signed yet.
Okay.
Yeah, they mentioned he wasn't at the last tapings and they tape a month in advance.
Uh-oh.
So he hasn't shown up yet. Was that your dog, by the way?
What's that?
I thought I heard your dog growling in the background.
Oh, no, that was probably a motorcycle, Brenda Fly.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, that'd be funny. She doesn't growl at shit. She's scared. Unless you're outside. If you're outside of the house, she fucking hates you and she's going to bite your balls off, right?
Yep. Yeah, I got one of those.
Yeah, you're inside the house and you're nice to her. She's fine.
When you come into my house, if you sit down, my dog will be happy. Yeah. If you stand up, she'll bark at you forever.
It just kind of depends. She picks up on people, right? Double T and Tropical, she had no issues with. No issues. You step in my house, Brenda Fly, I guess we'll find out.
she might smell my dog, so.
I guess we'll fucking see. Find out, Brenda Fly. That's, is there a spot now with TNA hitting the reboot? I mean, I don't know that they're improving their numbers on AMC. Like, I don't know that. The only thing that really intrigues me is Santana, and I still like.
He's gone though.
That's the problem.
Yeah,
like
he wasn't at the last taping, so.
Yeah,
that was it.
So it's just Nemeth. It's the Nemeth show.
Yeah, it's Nemeth. It's Ali. Ali's intriguing.
Yeah, I like Ali.
Yeah, they've done a good job with Bear Bronson, I think. He's in the system, but, you know, he's a hell of a talent.
Seeing Nation back ain't bad. I always thought he was a talented kid, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Wuhan Nation, fantastic.
If they bring Sheamus in, is that enough? Is bringing Sheamus in enough to make you interested in TNA? Like you said, you're a big Sheamus guy.
Mm-hmm.
Is that?
I don't think so. It would make me at the very least maybe tune into an episode. But when they went on AMC, that first episode broke me. God, it was so bad.
There's no coming back though.
It's TNA. I'll always end up back. They'll fool me back into it, like they always fucking do since 2022 or 2002. I've been watching TNA thinking, all right, you know, this is going to be better. this is going to be great. And it never is. I watched it with Double T last year. It's the worst. Or thinking like, all right, Santana's going to win here. They're in Long Island. This is going to be awesome. And he fucking loses. And it's the worst pay-per-view ever. But they always, yeah, they'll bring me back, find a way to bring me back in again.
Well, I'm glad that they will, Brundlefly. Yeah. You got to have those options, right?
It takes longer and longer every time, though.
Yeah, you'll be back. Don West will be slinging some brown bag specials. You'll be signed right back up.
If they can bring Don West back in from the grave, I'm signed right back up. I mean, if anybody can, it's TNA. They have the, what do they call it? The outer zone or whatever.
The outer
wherever, zone. Like Rosemary and Allie are and James Mitchell. Yikes.
SummerSlam, Brundlefly. We started off with that Sheamus being released. We wanted to get a little bit more into the WWE realm of things. SummerSlam is kind of forming right now.
Yeah, they got three matches, I believe.
Yeah, and Oba announced that he was going to take on Brock, and that was a big to do last week on Raw.
Yep.
What are your thoughts? How do you feel? Because I know how I feel about it. How do you feel about that?
I think I feel the same as you. I think it fucking sucks.
I like that.
I hate it. They wasted King of the Ring. Basically, like, he destroys everybody for this fucking title shot. And then he gives it up to fight Brock. Like, did he give it up? Or I didn't watch wrong. Did he give it up or say, I'll take it at another time?
So, Oba was cutting his promo. Brock came out. Brock said, you know, talk shit, get hit. He kicked him in the dick. It was fucking great. F5s him, goes to leave. Oba picks up the mic, calls him a coward again and challenges him to a match. Brock gets the stick. He says he's going to one up him and he'll take him on the match, but it's going to be Hell in a Cell. Right. Yeah. So that's the whole set. It was not a bad, like, it was not a bad setup, I guess.
Altogether. I'm sure it was a great setup with who's involved.
Mm-hmm. The thing that I hated about it was afterwards, Pierce went to talk to Oba and he said, are you sure? And Oba said the belt will always be there. And that fucking pissed me off. Like And I still I think knowing now that it's going to be Seth and Roman.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't need to see Seth and Roman again. I don't need to, especially on a short build. Like, I'm okay. They've had a shitload of history, and I get that they're two A-plus guys. You can put them in the ring. It's going to work. But but a fucking four-week build when you had Oba, right? And I love the idea of launching Oba straight to fucking Neptune, right? Right up your anus and fucking have him crush Brock on night one, right? Even Hell in a Cell. Just fucking put his ass down. And then night two, come out and crush fucking Roman Reigns. And guess what? Is there a bigger star in your company after that happens, Brundlefly? Is there a bigger fucking star in your company if you do that with him over SummerSlam?
Nope. And I mentioned it before. That's what they did to Brock. And he's still fucking main eventing pay-per-views to this day. They did it. When did Brock come up? 2003?
Right,
or 2002, right?
Yeah, something like
2002. And he came in, he showed up the night after WrestleMania, he destroyed everybody, he won King of the Ring, continued to destroy everybody, he beats The Rock at SummerSlam, and The Rock is fucking strapped to the guy.
Right. There's no reason not to.
It's 24 years later. It's not like they're doing it every year.
Right.
Yeah, right. Lightning strikes. Yeah.
And I love Brock Lesnar, a big fan, but like Oba seems to be a little bit more skilled on the stick earlier in his career than Brock ever was.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I'm with you on that one.
Brock got it. Like, he got there, but Oba seems head and shoulders above him this stage in the career. Like, I don't see the positive in this. Like, it's Brock Lesnar, Oba, Hell in a Cell sounds fucking amazing. I'm not even going to be in the state when this happens. I'm going to be a fucking Yellowstone waking up to a face full of grizzly nuts. Right. I'm not fucking pumped about that part of it. Right. I'm missing SummerSlam altogether, but like Oba, Brock, Hell in a Cell. Sure. But goddamn, how fucking happy would I be if the following night Oba took on Roman for the belt? Like, yeah. why does it? That's one thing that I didn't like either. They didn't explain to me why he's got to sacrifice it. Why does he have to sacrifice his title shot at SummerSlam to take on Brock in the fucking cage?
Yeah, there's still two fucking nights of SummerSlam, right?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, granted, it's going to be like Mania and they'll have six matches a show, maybe. But, yeah, you know, you could stick Oba in there and on both nights, people will be happy.
Yeah, I would have been just fine with it.
Yeah,
with it. With the other strap with Sammy, do you think, you know, you said Sammy and Cody tonight, you said?
Yeah, Cody, they put it on. It's on tonight. They said Cody won the number one contendership. He beat Jey Uso, thank God, on SmackDown. And what's his name? Pierce is the interim general manager of SmackDown now due to Aldis and Gunther going at it.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently Sammy had a problem with that. He's like, I'm a SmackDown guy. I don't fucking wrestle on Raw. And Pierce said, too bad. I'm the interim general manager. You're wrestling on Raw. Everybody's going to be on this show. I think they're trying to get as many viewers as they possibly can. Tonight's the World Cup, USA. So they're trying to do everything to throw it at it.
Yeah. So interesting.
I don't think they will, but, you know.
I don't think so either. I mean, I'm not watching either one. I'm hanging out with you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if I had my choice, I would probably watch Raw from 1999 or something like that tonight.
Well, shit. I'd still want to hang out with you because you're my friend.
No. That if I had my choice of a World Cup or Monday Night Raw.
with that, we hope that Sammy hangs onto that belt. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would hate for them to take it off him 8 days later or whatever it is. I
absolutely hate that. Because if they do that, you kind of understand that's he's likely not to get back there, right?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, because I would love to see. We've seen Seth and Roman before, just like we saw Randy and Cena. How many times we see Randy and Cena?
A lot.
I would love to see Kevin Owens back, and I would love to see the Sammy Kevin story over the title.
Yeah. I mean, we have seen that, but never with Sammy the champ.
Right.
Yeah. Right. We've seen them over many titles over the years.
I want the big one.
Yeah. What was I trying to think of? I had a thought for this and now I forgot it. It'll come to me after we finish.
Yeah, that's cool. Oh, yeah.
Chad
Gable. I like this redemption story that he's doing. I like, you know, everything that's going on with him. Chad Gable's an absolute fucking stud. The one thing that I don't like is his fucking music.
They changed it, right?
It's horrible.
It's a clap or something like that, or...
It's so bad. It's somewhere near like a Nickelback jam. Like it's somewhere near that type of level bad. And at one point, like on Monday, the song was going on. He was in the ring and he was trying to get them to clap. Like he was trying to get the fans to clap. And I haven't went and like sought out to hear the song. I've heard it just through watching Raw. It sounds horrible, and it doesn't even sound like a clap song. It doesn't sound like
if he's trying to get the fans to clap like this, if his song's not American Males, it's a failure.
His song should be American Males.
Absolutely. I love American Males.
Fucking amazing. You know,
Chad Gable, managed by Scotty Riggs and Buff Bagwell with one leg.
Yeah, he needs two managers.
that way it's American Males. Three of them. Four of them.
Makes sense, man. It makes sense. Yeah. So... I do like what they're doing with him. Gable's fucking phenomenal. He had a main event match with JD. Pretty good. Raquel Rodriguez, man, old pancake tits Rodriguez. Enough. Just enough. She took on, it was Maxine Dupri. Was not super interested in the match, and they didn't give a lot of hope to Maxine, which sucks because I thought she did pretty good with Becky. I thought her and she Becky did really good. Enough for me to say, fucking Maxine looks super improved.
And then they pulled the plug on that, too.
Right.
It felt like they pulled the plug kind of early on that one and then went straight to AJ and Becky right after that.
Yeah.
And Maxine has kind of just been floating. You see her in the background talking to Austin Theory because nobody in the division is left.
So. That was another thing that happened. Theory went up to her and Theory's like, I don't know, you're talking to Chad again? I'm fucking out. Maybe this dong isn't for your thong, right? What?
No, I'm just saying, like, they've been teasing that. Like, shit or get off the pot with that vision thing.
You know, like, I hear people say that. Are you
for so long?
Are you ever sitting on the pot and with no purpose? Like, I hear that saying, like, shit or get off the pot. But who goes in and sits down on the pot without the thought of, like, I'm going to take a shit?
You've never not wanted to be at work or at school during a class and been like, I'm bored. I need to get out of here for a minute. I'm going to go pretend to take a shit.
No, man. No.
There has to be somebody else out there that's done it.
I'm going to go pretend to take a shit. What the fuck is going on?
Well, then you're away from whatever's, you know, causing you Arjuna.
We didn't have cell phones when we were in school, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing when you pretend to take a shit?
Reading what everybody wrote on the fucking stall doors.
That sounds fucking awful. That's not fun. No, you get on the pot to take a shit. You don't shit or get off the pot. Nobody goes, oh, I'm going to go sit on the pot.
I think it's probably like a joke about, you know, like when a kid's potty training. You know, like they sit there forever. It's like, come on, kid, shit or get off the pot. And thank you, MB. He's absolutely done that before. Thank you.
Golly, I wonder why. What was it getting out of work or was it getting out of class, MB? I want to know which one. Right, because class I can find acceptable. Getting out of going to pretend to take a shit to get out of work. I don't know. Now we're going in some bad territory there. You think either one's acceptable?
I think either one's acceptable.
Unacceptable, man. You can't pretend to take a shit just to get out of work. That's no, absolutely not. And if you're like, if you don't want to work that bad that you're willing to pretend to take a shit, just tell them you're sick and go the fuck home.
I've seen a phone call come up, a phone number, recognize that zip code. I'm like, I think I'm going to pretend to take a shit. I don't want to take this phone call right now. Let somebody else.
Oh, no. MB, he says it's always to get out of work. Isn't it more work to pretend to take a shit? I don't know, man.
What do you mean more work? You sit there.
Nah, it's unacceptable. I don't like it at all. To put a pin in some WWE stuff, Rey Mysterio, Ethan Page did pretty well, I thought. Joe Hendry did beat Austin Theory, and Austin Theory is a stud. Joe Hendry, they didn't even give him the intro on the show.
Really?
Which I thought was that does not spell good for Hendry because Hendry is predominantly
He's the intro.
Yeah, so. That was a little bit worrisome. I didn't catch any of SmackDown. I never do. And I got to get in on AAA, man. Every week I go, I'm going to catch AAA. And for whatever reason, like the time just isn't there and it doesn't happen. So
maybe it's time to drop maybe JCW and add AAA. I know you don't like to drop wrestling, but if you want to get AAA in there, you know, have a more enjoyable, like I say, and more of an enjoyable hour.
Drop JCW? Every week, Brundlefly, I rage watch that fucking show. That show went from something I was kind of interested in to something I was going to really like to something I fucking hate and I can't give up, right? I fucking hate it. It's the show is shit, Brundlefly.
JCW fix.
I need it. It's the worst, Brundlefly. It is. So I will tell you this right now, Brundlefly. You know how much I love AEW, right? I would rather watch AEW than JCW right now, but 100%. I can't give up JCW. I can't do it. This is like
send you to rehab.
I was gonna say this is a bad codependent relationship.
You and the fucking the outcasts or whatever, the outbreak send you all to rehab. And
JCW is like that, you know, that girl I used to see while I was fucking doing meth all the time. Right now I've been clean. Right, I've been clean for like 3 days. I'm like, oh, I gotta see her again. I gotta see her again. And she's like, hey, I'm right here. I it sucks, man. I can't give it up.
Did three fucking matches, and the show was like an hour and 40 minutes long at least.
Yes, it was. One forty-three, I think, was the runtime. And there's three matches. I don't think any of those matches were had any real substance to them as far as length goes.
No, not really. None of them. Maybe the main event was past 10 minutes, but, you know, yeah, the Sunny Kiss and Sophia Rose was probably about 8. That was that was pretty good. Chopper City and JWO was what it was.
Yeah.
I did, and I tapped out. I told you, I tapped out after that. I couldn't do it anymore. I just don't enjoy it. I don't like Vince Russo.
I can't blame you for tapping out Butterfly. I really can't. And I want to.
Yeah.
Right. I want to be like, no, man, give it a chance. Stay with it. But I can't do that to you. Like right now I feel like I'm the dealer, right? I'm the one going, you know what, man, if you start on this for a while, you'll be okay. Like you'll learn to love it. You don't learn to love it. You fucking hate it. It's horrible. This bullshit with St. Clair being pregnant. Awful.
Did they announce anything about her father, or is it keep going up?
It's going to keep going. The only thing that I got really any pleasure out of that whole thing, cause the whole thing's fucking stupid. There's no reason why Fat Jay should be like
Joe.
He should be in. Yeah. Joe, Jay, whatever. Fat Joe should be in charge of finding out who the father is. Right. That's never going to be a thing in a company ever. But I did get it. They were all going into like the room and coming out of the room for testing with Dr. Fatum. And who is it? Golly, what's the guy's name? He was on the show. Jeeves.
Okay.
Jeeves's reaction to not being the father, I thought was pretty comical. Russo sucks. I'm fucking tired. I'm just tired of him. Just tired of him. He's not.
I'm with you.
When he was there like a couple months ago and you saw just shots of him here and there, it was stomachable. You know what I mean? Like it was just shots and the show wasn't so far Russo. But now the show is so far Russo and you have to see him.
Yep.
Danny Moe being, what's his name? What the fuck? What's the fucker's name? Barnabas.
Oh yeah. She's the dealer.
She's the dealer. And also Barnabas's daughter. Get the fuck out of here. They look the same age. They look the exact same fucking age. And you're going to try and tell me that. And they did that promo in the ring. And Barnabas tells this whole fucking backstory about how he had to leave his kid, right? Because the mom, Barbara, that's important, right? He's got to say Barbara multiple times.
Barbara and Barnabas?
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Butterfly. Barbara.
At least my B&B is far away.
It's B&B. It's dynamite. ACDC. Dynamite!
I've been married to my wife for 15 years. I never thought of that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Why, like they say the whole backstory, Barbara died during childbirth, giving birth to Danny Moe. Now, Danny Moe's he left Danny Moe with the carnival and all this bullshit. At no point do I care. At no point does that make me like Barnabas anymore, Danny Moe any less, Danny Moore anymore, and Barnabas any less, right? Like it sucks. The whole thing sucks. And the fans were fed up with it too. Listening to it. So it was bad, man. They 143, was it 143 runtime?
Yeah, that sounds right.
And three matches and more bullshit. I love Choppa City. I love that chop though. I like that might be one of the reasons, the only reasons I tune in. I gotta see that chop, man. I love the Choppa City. I hate the
Kyle's got one.
Yeah.
Sheamus to JCW. If it involves Sheamus versus Mickey Knuckles, I'm in.
Mickey Knuckles ain't there, Brundlefly. You know that.
I know. I mean, I'm still hoping she'll come back.
Now, what if Sheamus shows up and puts on that Ronald McDonald makeup?
Yeah, I'm still going to be in.
You're in for that. Okay, I like that. I'm kind of tired of it, man. I'm not giving up. I'm not going to give up on JCW. I should. JWO sucks too.
Yeah,
having them play the like the NW. It's the fucking NWO music.
I didn't even notice that when they came out.
Get the fuck out of here.
I was probably at that point. I was probably like, all right. I'm like, oh, I know, because I fast forwarded Too Tough Tony, like giving Bacardi to everybody on ringside and just every person. I was like, all right, I want to eventually get to MLW tonight, so I'm gonna skip places where I can.
So that was the clincher there. You wanted to move on to MLW.
Yeah. So I'm interested though. I wonder if what's the fuck? I wonder if there's more people in the JWO or NWO all time.
Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah, because JWO, you know, they've been around JCW for a lot of years.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
I don't know that answer, Brundlefly. I don't know that answer. I don't want to see the JWO again. I'm tired of them. We've said it before too. Like Too Tough Tony, right? Seems like a hell of a guy. It's time for him to.
Yeah, he definitely was a hell of a guy.
Yeah, like he ain't moving right. He ain't moving right. So it's you know, just kind of move on.
By the way, I got my answer. There's only like 15 people in the JWO. Most of them were in the NWO. Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, Sean Waltman.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. Sid.
Yeah. Sid.
Yeah, Sid.
Son of a bitch. Suck.
Vampiro. DDP.
Yeah, and it was at the main event. In case you did miss a Brundlefly, but it was Josh Bishop versus the Future Endeavors. And Bishop won.
I like Josh Bishop.
I do too, man. Big Money Bishop. I don't know if that I love his partnership with Joel Gertner.
Oh yeah.
But I'm not giving up, Brundlefly. I need that high every week, man.
Is that it seems like it's more of a low to you.
It is. Yeah. Speaking of lows, Brundlefly.
Yeah.
I also watched a little AEW this week, man.
That wasn't a low to me.
I don't know how it was a high, man. Crack the egg of knowledge. What good did you see in AEW?
I enjoyed the opener.
Ah, grow up.
JF and Mark Briscoe. It's not going to be for you.
No, you hate it.
I acknowledge it. Loved it. I still enjoy the Death Riders Will Ospreay thing because I feel like there's a lot of layers going on there.
Brundlefly.
I like it. I can't wait to see where it goes.
No, wait a second. No, we got to talk about this specifically because they opened the show with the video of what happened after Forbidden Door.
Yes.
Yes. So Ospreay comes walking up. There's fucking awesome John Moxley, right?
He's fucking awesome.
He starts talking to him. And he pulls out this fucking patch. Right?
He's patching him over.
He's like, I got this cloth patch. He's like, I don't give these just to anybody. These are fucking awesome. These are only the best of the best. Like guys like Wheeler Yuta. Danny Garcia. Get the fuck out of here. Like it's hey,
Pac. Right, so is somebody need it? Sometimes you always need a B team. But you got other, you know, Cesaro's an A team. Pac's an A team.
Pac and Cesaro are A team.
Shafir's an A team.
You're fucking out of your mind.
I fucking love Marina Shafir. I love her. Absolutely love everything she does.
Shafir is an A team?
100%.
I can tell you watched JCW this week. Shafir is not an A team. Right? Wheeler is not an A team.
No.
Right? Garcia Wheeler, is not an
I thought would have been an A team for a while. I was in on Wheeler Yuta when he was first joining, where he had a fucking awesome match with Moxley, and then it's been downhill since there.
So Cesaro, and I love Cesaro. Cesaro's probably my favorite guy in the group.
Yeah.
I don't even think he's an A-team.
I think he's an A-team. He doesn't really lose in AEW very often.
He can't work the stick, Brundlefly.
Yeah, but he's got Moxley there to be fucking awesome.
But you need to work the stick. If you're going to be an A-team, you're going to be able to work the stick.
He doesn't need to work the stick.
You got to work the stick. Golly, Brundlefly. You got to work the stick if you're going to be in the A-team. So he tells Ospreay, like, these patches don't give out to anybody, which he fucking does. He gives you plenty of C-minus players in that Death Riders, and we know that. He's handing out those patches like they're cheap.
I think they're an average of a B, the Death Riders.
Well, now, because they just got a guy that came
B-plus now.
Oh, not B-plus. Not B-plus, Brundlefly. So they brought their average up by bringing Ospreay in. Sure, I'll give you that. Now, the camera moves on, right? And he goes to Kenny Omega.
Yes, and the angel on his shoulder instead of the devil of Moxley.
And then you look in the background, Brundlefly, and in the doorway, what do you see?
Almost MJF coming out.
You see MJF standing the fuck. Get out of the shot, man. This isn't JCW. This is AEW. You should be better than that. I shouldn't see you in the doorframe. Get out of the fucking shot. Losing my mind. Those small, stupid fucking.
I didn't notice it was him at first. I didn't notice. I saw somebody was in the shop, but I didn't notice it was him because I was focused on that Kenny and Ospreay talking. I saw somebody. I looked over for a second. I saw somebody was there, and then they were gone.
Is that what happened? You looked over. Somebody's there.
Now they're gone.
That's fine. Oh man, it drove me nuts seeing him in that doorway. But that's how the show opens, right?
And like, yes,
altogether, I didn't hate everything about it, but like, I wasn't like super excited.
You know what I mean? I'm in on this. I want to see where this goes. I want to see where Ospreay and Omega, where they're building towards for that, with Ospreay and Moxley, where that's going to build, what's going to happen with the Death Riders. I'm in on it. I may be the only person in the world in on it, but they tickled my fancy on it.
My main man MB says it. There's nothing interesting about the Death Riders. And he's right. He's absolutely right. Here we go. Nothing interesting about the Death Riders. It's such a stale faction. They should have been broken up a while ago. And I see what Tropical said about Bret Hart, and I'm not bringing that one up. So,
Oh, you mean this?
He can work the stick a little bit. So that started the show, and that kind of that little, and I know I'm super, super, what's the word I'm looking for here? I pick AEW apart. Incredibly judgmental about AEW because I loved it. And then it started doing this, and now it really aggravates me when I watch it. But I watched it, Brundlefly, for you. For you, I watched it.
That's why I watched MLW for you, but we'll get into that.
We will.
I will admit, I'm not a fan of Leo Rush. I know a lot of people are. I don't like the character. I never really liked him before this a lot. I liked him as Lashley's hype guy. That was my favorite, Leo Rush.
Okay.
But, yeah, him and Kevin Knight, at least Kevin Knight won.
Yeah, So I want to go back to the opening match, though, Bruno.
Okay,
We talked about that opening, promo, whatever, the recap of what happened after Forbidden Door. The opening match, MJF and Briscoe. Mm-hmm. Why isn't Briscoe getting his title shot in at least the main fucking event? At least give him the main event, not the opening match. The opening fucking match?
I think because they made it a story after that for the Kenny Omega thing. They wanted this. And I could see Mark Briscoe as a guy that says, give me MJF right away. I don't want to wait to beat this guy's ass. Let's start off with this. And I think that's why, MJF wins, of course, and he attacks him afterwards, and then Kenny makes the save, and MJF says, okay, you want a title shot? Give me an answer, on my demand. You know, my demand is you don't get a title shot at if I beat you. So yeah, they built the intrigue during to the show to see what Kenny would say.
Yeah, wasn't that intriguing?
It was.
So I
90 minutes of intrigue.
God damn it, bro. I liked that they were aware of the ring count. Right? They broke the ring count out numerous times. I was like, hey, look at that. Somebody's starting to give a shit about the rules, which I love. I love the rules. So I was very happy to see them doing the breaking the count. Love seeing that. Didn't need to see the exposed pad, like the exposed concrete floor. Didn't know exactly all what, you know, what that needed to be, you know. The table spot, I actually was okay with that. That was fucking okay with me. I didn't, and even that was when MJF folded the table back up, threw it underneath it. Like,
love that. That was fucking beautiful. Great.
Oh, absolute. I laughed so hard I almost shit my pants on the treadmill this morning when Briscoe took a step and like fell off the ring stairs.
Oh yeah,
fell off the steps. Like he slipped, lost it, laughing,
dude. You know, almost isn't good enough. You know, you take the crown for a while, shit your pants.
I'm not going to shit my pants. I'm not going to shit my pants. But eating a lot of broccoli, I might shit my pants. So I like MJF a lot. I thought the best part about this match was actually the finish, that Alabama slam into, didn't he call it the salt of the earth at one point? I was gonna call him the heat seeker.
No, the heat salt of the earth was always the submission. Armbar.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. The submission. So I didn't mind the finish to this match. I wish they would have kept it a little bit in the ring, and I really wish your fucking world title should not open the goddamn it. Like that part of it, that part of it kind of bothered me. He attacks Briscoe afterwards, right? I'm okay with that. Is it time to give up the diamond ring? Is it time to just get fucked, do away with that piece of shit?
No, I think that's his thing. He's always going to be the guy that's his, you know, that's his tennis racket. That's his sledgehammer to be Triple H. That's his cane, a million other wrestlers. That's his thing to beat people with. So I'm okay with that.
All right.
He's not even the last diamond ring champion. He's still using it.
All right. Okay. Yeah. I can accept that, Brundlefly. I can absolutely accept that. Kenny saving Briscoe. Sure. Why not? And then the exploding offer. The same offer he gave Hangman, the same offer he gave Cody. And then that's going to be the story throughout the rest of the night to do a short setup for next week's Dynamite is what they're doing.
Yeah.
So, and I don't like that either. Short setup for the following week.
I mean, they've kind of been building to it. Mm-hmm. You know, Kenny's been saying, I want to get back in the picture. He's been saying that. So it's not like Kenny's been just showed up and all of a sudden he has a title shot. He's been saying, like, I'm getting ready to get back at the title. Granted, yeah, 1 week, you're right, is a short title, is a short build.
Right.
But I'll be honest. I will not be surprised if on Wednesday Kenny Omega is your new world champion.
Oh, I expect it to happen.
You too?
I do. Yeah. I'm a big MJF guy. He's beat up a little bit, I believe.
Right. Yeah, he did. He hurt his knee or something like that.
Yeah,
I forget. Not last month, the month before. I think it was. Who did he fight? I don't even remember at this point.
Yeah, so whatever. I expect Kenny to win because I think that
and then Wembley is Kenny and Ospreay and Kenny 3, and they had two fucking those were two fucking great matches they had before this. So,
I think that's the angle, and that's which way they're riding, and that's perfectly fine. Andrade comes out after this to cut a promo.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck him. I'm fucking sick of it. Fuck.
Oh, no way. Andrade is doing like the best work of his career. I give a shit, a big shit about Andrade now.
You give a big shit.
I give a huge
Look who's so eating much, broccoli now, motherfucker. That's what you're saying to me. Look who's eating broccoli now.
Not me. Not me. I hate broccoli. I fucking hate it. I try it once every year, maybe every other year. Hate it.
Yeah, I love it. It's the best. I had broccoli before we went on tonight, but yeah, so
I won't.
I give it a whirl.
That's the thing. I do. Every year or two, I try it. I try it with cheese. I try it with butter, with barbecue sauce, with everything. I just can't get the taste.
Barbecue sauce?
Yeah. I've had people have it with barbecue sauce before. That or cauliflower.
Weird. Okay.
Well, anything to make me try and like it, but it won't work.
A little hot sauce?
I don't like hot sauce.
And you're not a hot sauce man. Okay, well, then
Stomach's been screwed up for years. I don't need to be dumping hot sauce in that to make it worse. I have enough trouble not shitting my pants.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Watch out, Brenda flies in front of the Davis house again.
I'm saying I like Andrade. I think he's having great matches. He's getting a big fucking reaction. He got that. Three words, how you know. Got it over huge.
Yeah, I know. I know that, so I fucking hate the guy.
I think he's good. I think he's doing great work.
I think that he thinks a lot higher of himself than he should. I like seeing him get his ass kicked. That was fine. And then they transitioned that right into the Kevin Knight Leo Rush match.
Yeah.
I'm with you. You said earlier, Leo Rush, just not into. I've never been into him either, Brundlefly. I do like, so his, I'm just going to call it this Titantron because it's, you know, what we grew up with. I guess we had a Titantron. His Titantron package is like rain, but it's nails. Like, it's like raining nails, which is pretty fucking cool.
Because I give less of a shit about him, I must have missed that.
Yeah, man, like it's like raining.
I'll be on the look for that.
Yeah. Outside of that,
watch out, Vince McMahon. It's raining nails.
Yeah, all right. All right. All right, bro. I see you.
Half a credit there.
Well, partial. You could be a Death Rider. So
fucking awesome. Can I borrow your shirt?
Yeah, man. I'll send you to him. Fucking awesome. I don't like the character, not into it, not into his, like, his ring style is a little bit different, which usually if you're like, if you're running a little bit different, I can kind of get into that a little bit. Like, cause it, you're used to seeing what you've seen. You've watched, you know, watch wrestling for 40 years, you know what you're seeing. But like when it is, presentation is a little bit different, but with him, it just doesn't do anything for me. That little bag thing at the front, comes out with a backpack.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here. There's already a guy with a backpack.
There's a couple of guys with backpack these days.
Enough with the backpack, right? Was everybody going to school, right?
You know what?
Madison, all of a sudden.
The best use of a backpack was at the pay-per-view.
Exploding? And it was
take a shit a. Second best use, maybe.
Okay.
When he had his backpack and he's going to grab something out of it and he's got his hand all in it and he's trying to get it and trying to get it and Okada's in front of him and he finally pulls it out. And it's the finger. That was fucking good.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, Brundlefly, but that Leo Rush, Kevin Knight stuff over, yeah. And then it goes right into the Darby promo, which Darby just got done being world champion, and he's demanding a TNT title. So, like, you kind of take a step back, and to me, sometimes it seems like you should be away a little bit longer and then not go right into a title. Like, get a program outside of the title.
But Kevin Knight is the guy that attacked him after the title match.
Mm-hmm.
So Kevin Knight is the TNT champion.
Right.
He's going after Kevin Knight. Why wouldn't he go into a title match?
Sound logic.
And he knows Kevin Knight loves being the TNT champion. So
sound logic.
He's going to hurt him, and he's going to take that title and hurt him even more.
Sure. Sure. I don't think Kevin Knight should be the TNT champion. I think that coming out of that, if you have Darby feuding with Kevin Knight, not over a title, there's more there than having feuding over a title, because they're feuding over hatred, right? Because of what Kevin Knight did. Now it's hatred, but hey, I also want the TNT title, and I think it takes it away. I really think it takes it away.
Who was TNT champion before that?
How the fuck would I know?
No, because he didn't beat somebody. He won at a gauntlet. Somebody got hurt and lost it. Now I can't fucking remember that either.
I don't fucking know, man.
Yeah, I don't remember
either. You're the AEW. I'm not the AEW guy. You're the AEW guy.
Yeah, but I'm getting old. I can't remember everything.
I hear that. Hey, we got
Go ahead.
As I say, Ryan Magoo is back, and we're talking about shooting out a friend named Hung Kai Zhang. I think I nailed that.
I think you absolutely nailed that.
Hung Kai Zhang? Man, yeah.
Ryan, let us know if HK nailed that.
Yeah, if you want me to try it again, I'll try it again, but I'm pretty sure I fucking nailed that one, man. That's a dinger. They call it a dinger in my neighborhood. What was next? Oh, Death Riders.
Ugh. Death Riders, fucking awesome.
Against the Swirl?
Yeah, somebody's. You gotta have jobbers.
Ah, Ryan says I nailed it.
Good fucking job.
Awesome. Yeah, man. See, I know stuff. I wasn't. So the part that I didn't give a shit about this match. Who cares about the Swirl? Is there anybody that gives a shit about the Swirl?
Not really.
Has anybody given a shit about the Swirl?
Fire I like Jay Lethal.
Yeah, I used to like Jay Lethal too, right? Yeah. I used to like him too. He's gotten a little rotund.
not rotund enough that Marina Shafir can put him on the top of his head.
Which is also an issue. Which is also an issue. fire those assholes, bring in Sheamus.
Right?
let's just make room for Sheamus.
They're more ROH guys anyway.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Fucking close ROH because it shouldn't exist right now anyways.
Yeah.
sorry, Tom and Will. It's the truth. Just close the shit down.
Trust right? me, that's not their ROH. Ja.
Let those. It's their ROH, just like it's the WWE CW is my ECW. So close that shit down. Right. Yeah. Matt's more specifically. Yeah. And you'll bring in Shame, bring in the New Day. Right. And then you'll be fine. Yeah. So I'm still a little confused as to why people are cheering the Death Riders.
I think they cheer Ospreay and Moxley too, because Moxley really doesn't. He really doesn't seem like as much of a bad guy as the other guys these days. Like his Continental Classic matches, it's not out. He's not out there, you know, hurting people or, you know, cheating throughout the thing. He's having great matches.
Okay. So it's one of those he's earned it. But like, are we forgetting all the fucking heinous shit that they did?
It's wrestling. They always forget all the heinous shit they did.
But usually there's a make amends somewhere. They never made amends. He just started having what people perceive as better matches.
He made amends with Ospreay. He helped him. He helped his neck. And now Ospreay's number one contender, and he's going to Wembley Stadium to fucking main event. No.
Yeah, and when he's main event, he's gonna be wearing that patch, just like Wheeler. Fucking awesome. I don't get why they're cheering him. So that was the thing that drove me nuts about that match was Marina Shafir fucking running around the ring high fiving people. Where the fuck does that come from?
I think anytime somebody like her destroys somebody on the outside, whether it's Jay Lethal or one of the STP or something like that, people are going to enjoy it.
But it's now in her character to go high-fiving fans around the fucking ring?
Yeah, that's true. That's I'd high-five her.
That's your girl. That's your number
that
one.
That is my girl.
Yeah.
You gotta, I can't say anything or else she'll kick my ass.
You got to work on that. You need some broccoli. and then what did we have? What was the... Yeah.
Then it was
the Bang Bang Gang.
Yes, title.
Yeah, they had.
Their, they promo. Had their promo. Loved it. Love Jay White. I'm glad to see him back after all this time.
Okay.
Juice Robinson, whenever he's out there, he's fucking great. No matter what he does, whether he's just standing there making faces or, you know, shooting his finger bang guns.
Juice is a former AWF alum too. It's
Oh really? Yep. Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's been quite a few guys through those stores. Chad Gable as well. But
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But I like Juice. I'm a big Juice guy. got to get rid of the two words for you, right? That's still just recycled WWE stuff that I think they gotta try and shy away from as much as they possibly can at this point. Yeah, especially when you like we have Edge and Christian, right? Yeah, the Hurt Syndicate, right? Yeah, there's too much WWE and AEW.
There is a lot, yeah.
Yeah, and then if you bring them the New Day and then Sheamus and you know, fuck it, just do it. Just be WWE like
New Day. I mean, New Day's got to come.
Oh yeah,
yeah. There we go. I think that's one of those things that's been built to for so many years. Even if it's like a 6 months to a year or something like that, they got to get there.
Okay, and then the main event, Brenda Fly, was this survival of the fittest. Now,
yeah.
So let me tell you this. That match sucked. That match was that was a very bad match. It none of them seemed to click together. There's too many of them in the ring not to click. Everybody looked like they were hesitant. Everybody looked like they were moving slow. It looked like they're waiting for cues. There was so much in that match that aggravated me the entire way through. And how in the fuck do you let somebody, it's called the survival of the fittest. How do you let the person that let themselves go the most win the survival of the fittest? She ain't the fittest. All right. I know that something's different there. It's different, right? Too many wontons. I know what's going on. I watch the shows. Brundlefly, talk to me about this main event, man, because I tell you, I watched it and I wanted to like it. I liked Sheeta, right? And I told you when she came back, you remember when she came back, I was like, I don't know, something doesn't look right with Sheeta. Something's wrong there. And remember what happened? You remember what happened?
Yeah.
Oh no, she looks great. She's the same. She looks awesome. I love Sheeta. Sheila, you're out of your mind. She looks great, right? No, I think you're right. Said Sheila, there's something wrong with her. She's not looking fucking awesome, right? And I'm telling you, Brundlefly, I was right. There's something wrong with Sheeta. And she's not the survivor. She's not the fittest. She survived the match. Bad match. Bad match.
I'm with you. It was not a good match. It didn't seem like any of them clicked at all. The only good thing coming out of it, I think, is Persephone. And if we get more of her, I feel like she kind of made herself stand apart from the rest. I like her a lot. I want to see more of her. I fucking love Sheeta. She was always my favorite woman in AEW. I'm hoping now that she's champ, something will click better, but yeah, I'm with you. This match didn't just click at all.
It was bad.
Something was really off on this one.
It was, I mean, all of them were.
Yeah.
Like I said, the entire match, they looked hesitant in the ring.
Yeah.
It was a horrible match, man. It was, and this is not me, like, I'm not just here to shit on broads, right? That's not my
thing. No, yeah.
I love Queen Aminata.
I love her. I wanted her to win so bad.
Now, how many times, like, we saw roll-ups in this match, and that was how the people, and which I don't mind a roll-up. I like a roll-up. Give me a good roll-up. I'm a happy
Did
man.
Anybody win not with roll-up?
Not off the top of my head.
Because Harley got rolled up.
Well, when the end of the match, Purse Phone hit...
Oh, yeah, she hit a... Stat,
and then Stat got rolled. No, Stat. They put Stat got put in that submission.
That's right. Yeah. She got she passed. Well, passed that.
That's a sloppy ass looking submission too. I was not satisfied at all, which I was very disappointed. Like Rio, well, where's he? She used to kick ass. Yeah. Well, you with that guy? I go. Name is Rio. Where's she? She kicks ass, right?
Yeah, she hasn't been back in forever. There was another one I wanted in this. I don't remember.
Yeah,
a lot of... I mean, there was plenty of others that could have been in this too.
And wasn't what's her name? Willow? Didn't everybody Willow's love her? Oh, she's hurt now. Okay.
That's why there was this match, because she had to drop the TM.
Well, I don't know. Title. No fly.
I see, I remember that, but I don't remember. I don't remember the other ones.
Oh, what was the other thing that happened? Oh, they showed Mercedes. She cut a shitty promo.
Love her.
You do not love her, Brundlefly, because I love you.
I love her.
Can't be a thing in my life. No money.
Yeah, her and Tekla is going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to their promos.
Yeah, I'm not.
I am. We are going to get before Tekla and Monet, we are going to get a number one contender for the next pay-per-view, as they're having a casino gauntlet this week with the women.
This week, yeah.
Yeah, so we're getting that. We're getting the title match. It's pretty stacked dynamite, to be honest.
All right, Brundlefly. Nick, neither one of us watched Collision. That's okay, right?
Yeah.
So we won't get into Collision, but I want you right now to give me a reason. Give me a reason to watch Dynamite this upcoming Wednesday, because I just watched Dynamite and I did it for you, man. I did it for you. And I wasn't overly happy with what I saw. It was solid. It was a Death Rider type show. It was a C-minus show.
Here's what they got announced.
Okay.
Ciampa and Jericho. They have been building towards that. That was another thing that happened during Dynamite. They fought outside. Ciampa almost drilled them, literally. They got the casino gauntlet match. Right now, Athena and Maya World are 1 and 2. This I like. Kyle Fletcher and Takeshita for the International Championship. That should be good. Okay. And then the main event, MJF and Kenny Omega. I think to see the world title match, that's worth watching Dynamite alone to see where that goes.
That ladies match, is that a 20-woman gauntlet?
And no, they never really announce an amount for the gauntlet since its first pin wins. So, it's not that a battle royal.
That match sucks. I think they do
too many of them. If they kept it to like one a year, that's fine.
What's wrong with the battle royal that they used to do? The casino battle royals. Those were
fun.
You got different groups, and you all came down in one burst. Like, that was cool.
Yeah.
That was
an innovative. And then you get the wild card.
Yes.
You know, the wild card, famous wild card. I think Britt Baker was a wild card once.
Okay.
Sure. Matt Sydal falling off the ropes was a wild card.
Hell yeah, that guy that had no legs, that was a wild card, son of a bitch.
I don't think that was a wild card, but I do remember. You me? I do what remember the no legs. Legs.
He wrestled with no legs, and that's not a wild card to you?
Yeah, that's true. No legs. He's still in the Battle Royal.
Yeah, it's awesome. I suppose feet never touched the floor.
Yeah, exactly. Him and Zach Gowen should have been the team.
Oh, man.
Team one leg.
I would have went team Footloose, but that's just me. So you think that I should catch Dynamite this week, Brundlefly?
I think so. I think it, at least for me, I'm excited for it.
Time permitting, right?
Mm-hmm.
It comes down to Dynamite or MLW.
I'm always going to choose Dynamite. I know you would probably go MLW.
No,
and that's your thing. I don't blame you.
I know that you watched MLW this week.
I sure did. I made time for it this week.
And I have been preaching the gospel of MLW for the last couple of weeks, telling everybody to check out MLW. Much like MB's, he's waving the banner for AAA, and I love that he is. I got to make time for AAA because those are my people. But I've been watching MLW. It's a simple watch. It's an easy watch usually. And this week they had some happenings over on MLW. Brundlefly, you watched it, man.
I did watch. I watched every minute of MLW this week.
Ooh, tell me about it, stud.
So we started with the Bunkhouse Battle Royal with, let me see if I could name them all. You had Trevor Lee. Mm-hmm. You had Andrew Everett. I'm not going to go in order. You had former Del Rio guy, Jesus Rodriguez, I believe is his name.
Yeah.
Paul Walter Hausen. Who else was in that? Festus.
Yeah.
Josh Bishop.
Yeah. Big money.
Yeah. They made a mistake during that match too.
Tell me about the mistake.
They announced that Josh Bishop was a skyscraper.
Oopsie doops.
Whoops. Foreshadowing the main event.
Well, you know, mistakes happen.
There was somebody else, somebody that fucked with that Elgato guy out there. And I can't remember who.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember who the other one was or the other ones were.
It all bleeds together.
Though. I think I got most of them, though.
Presentation. What do you think of the presentation of MLW?
Oh, I dig it. I definitely dig it. It looks pretty awesome.
To me, it reminds me a little bit of like WCW. That reminded me of like a Worldwide or a WCW Pro. And then when they're the other stadium, it kind of reminds me of like a Saturday night almost. Like it's a cool
setup. Yeah. All right. I missed Diego Hill, who's a hell of a talent.
Yes.
I missed Io Kwan, who was messing with that's the one that was messing with El Gato.
Right.
I missed the returning Matthew Justice and former guest of the show, Beastman.
Oh, I forgot about Beastman.
Love Beastman. Love me some Beastman. At the end of it, that's how Tom Lawler rang the bell. He used Beastman's bone to ring the bell and reactivate Festus.
He's got one hell of a heart on if you can ring a bell with that bone. So tell me what else you saw here of MLW, because this isn't your first taste of MLW, but it is.
No, I've first watched sampling MLW in a while. Yeah. I watched MLW actually a little bit when it first came out in the early 2000s, like the Extreme Horsemen of Carino and CW and your buddy PJ and them, and who else? Mike Awesome was part of it. Kojima, Terry Funk, like all these guys.
Yeah.
So I watched MLW then. I watched a little bit in, I guess, mid-2000s. Swerve was there, Low Key, Austin Aries, all those guys.
Yeah.
And now now it's when I'm back on board.
Okay.
So I liked LeBron.
LeBron Cozone.
Oh, man, he looks like a fucking star.
Guy looks like an issue. Fuck, guy looks like he's gonna somebody. You fight him, you're gonna have a bad day, and that's what old Alan Angles found out.
Yeah, and they mentioned like, oh, Alan's doing great, he looks great, and LeBron just kicked the shit out of him.
Oh, he's doing great. Look at him, he's doing great. Yeah, looks great.
He didn't have a fucking answer for him. Can't blame him.
No, absolutely not. Seeing Teddy Long on the show kind of fucked me a little bit. Like, I didn't. I know he's been on the show before, but it always kind of throws me off when Teddy Long's kind of out of nowhere. Teddy Long's one of the few wrestlers that my wife actually has an impression of. So,
oh, that's awesome.
She just loves going holla 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 holla. Main event, man. We had the Machine Gun taking on Dijak. I mean, that's the part of the show that stood out to me. What do you think about that main event?
I liked it. And, you know, I almost forgot. People forget how fucking good of a wrestler Carl Anderson can be. Mm-hmm. Like, before he started teaming with Gallows or whatnot, like, he was at the top of the cards of New Japan. He's a former G1 finalist. And then he kind of, it's probably what he wants to do. He was in with Gallows for all these years. Mm-hmm. But when they get him in 1-on-1, man, he showed it. He can go fucking go still.
Man.
So I really like this main event.
So watching this, Dijak is a lot bigger than I thought he was. Like, and I don't know if it's maybe Carl's a little bit smaller than I thought he was, which makes Dijak bigger. But Dijak looked like a monster compared to the machine gun there. And I didn't like that he was bumping around for him. Like, he shouldn't have been bumping around for him. And I don't like that Dijak's throwing the goddamn moonsault.
Dijak's always done that moonsault. He's always been one of those big guys that can move.
But what is that?
That's like his thing. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's one of the reasons why. I think that's maybe Dijak does that so he stands out more. But he's one of those guys, and I talked recently to Tom and Will about this. Like, I feel like he never fully realized his potential. Like, he's a big guy, he's a jack guy, he can go. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he was in Ring of Honor 10 years ago, and he never really did much. Right. He was in NXT, never really did much. WWE, Retribution probably had something to do with it.
Yeah. I think prior to that, though, I thought he had a really nice run in NXT. He had some good matches there.
He did, yeah. But he never took that next step to, like, the full top of the card like you think a guy like that would.
No, that's fair. That's fair. I don't know. I liked the finish. It was a little bit of a surprise finish there, and I'll always kind of take those. You know, so will my wife. Oh yeah. And then you get the announcement there that out comes, you know, Josh Bishop. And Josh Bishop's going to be a new Skyscraper.
You mean you get the announcement again?
Again, right? The second.
Just did you catch that on the opener?
So you said it, and it sparked a little bit of a memory, but I couldn't like point to it. No, absolutely.
Okay. Not.
So, with Bishop Dyer potentially coming back to be Baron Corbin again, what did they say? Like, he was demanding cars and like $190,000. Yeah, they made up a whole fucking list of things that he was demanding, and so now they said he was locked out, right? That was the terminology. Which is fine. Like, the show will continue, and I'm not a giant Baron Corbin guy. Bishop, I'm just not.
I'm with you on that one. Yeah, like, I think I have been and haven't been. I liked him in NXT as the Lone Wolf. I didn't like Happy Corbin or Sad Corbin or whatever other Corbins there was.
Really? That was the work that I actually enjoyed of his.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I didn't care for the Lone Wolf. I thought it was fucking dumb. Like, it's just another dark character that, you know, he's a lone man, right? He's gonna kick everybody's ass. He's pissed off. It's just him against the world. Right.
I think I liked it because of him coming out there and beating the shit out of everybody so fast. Okay. To the point where the fans used to count his match. Like, they would count until he got the pin. It would be like 45 seconds.
That's not a bad gimmick, yeah.
But, yeah, that was pretty cool. Until he finally went up against somebody, I think it was like Bull James or something like that, when he was doing Bull Fit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Golly. Yeah, see, and I'm just not a giant fan. But I thought the Happy Corbin stuff, the Sad Corbin stuff, like, there was finally depth to him.
Yeah.
I got a kick out of that stuff.
I think at that point I was over Corbin. Like, his feud with Seth was really fucking not good.
I believe it, yeah.
Yeah, and a few other things.
He comes back, and if he's linked to Danhausen, does that hurt Danhausen more than it helps him?
I don't think so. I don't think anything can hurt Danhausen at this point.
I agree.
It wouldn't hurt Danhausen to have like a heavy guy, like somebody like the Miz fucks with him, and then Corbin comes and kicks his ass.
Yeah,
like, I don't think Matt Cardona is gonna be that guy, but
no, golly, no.
Yeah, too bad.
But you made it through. You made it through MLW, man.
I made it through, and I don't know if I'll watch this week, because I'm going to be going away this week on Sunday or whatnot. I'll be gone for a couple of days, but I will make time for it the week afterwards.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
And I'll probably be gone that week, and we'll talk about it.
We'll eventually get back to MLW. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a good show. It's a good, I encourage people to go check it out.
Like you said, Josh Bishop being a skyscraper, he kind of has that Sid feeling to him too.
But yeah,
he's always gave me, I've seen Bishop for years now. He's been a guy in the really good JCW Jersey Championship Wrestling. Mm-hmm. And they run a lot of times out of the Mecca in my town. So Bishop was on a lot of those shows. He always put on a hell of a show.
Yeah.
So I've been a fan of his, and he always gave me Sid vibes. Maybe it's the hair. Maybe it's the
hair.
Yeah. The hair helps.
The hair, the leather vests, the black choke trunks. Slam. Yeah, choke slam. Yeah, all those things.
Yeah.
Put it together makes sense.
Hey, there's worse guys to model yourself after. Just don't play softball.
Hmm. Yeah, I suppose you'd be like a Daniel Garcia or Willie Yuta. Anyways.
fucking awesome.
Horrible. I'm glad that you enjoyed it, man. I really am. And like I say, just take the time. Most of the shows are about an hour long watch. They'll do a special 2 hour here and there. And you don't even have to
fast forward. I know the week before it was 2 hours, and I just didn't have time to, I wanted to watch it the week before, but
yeah.
I didn't have two hours to spare at that point.
I was gonna say they do those special presentations is what it is. And it's a 2 hour watch when it's those, but usually it's just an hour show. It's an easy watch. It's an easy digest. So plus, you know, every now and again, you get to see Scarlett, which ain't a bad thing.
No, that's for fucking sure.
Right. That's for fucking sure. Awesome. Brundlefly. Awesome. So what is it? Today is 28 years.
For Goldberg. Well, this is Goldblum, but
Goldblum. And you had said something to me very interesting. Texted me earlier today, Brundlefly, and you said that was Goldberg's best match.
Yes, we're talking about 28 years ago was Bill Goldberg defeating Hulk Hogan on Monday Nitro, not on a pay-per-view. In front of, what was it, 38,000 or 40,000 people in the Georgia Dome.
1,000, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, a huge, huge crowd. And I said that is probably Goldberg's best match.
Okay. What makes it his best match?
I think it was entertaining. It went longer than 3 minutes. It had a phenomenal reaction. It had a great reaction, and I put it like the year before that, Lex Luger and Hulk Hogan on the 100th episode of Nitro. Was it technically a great match? No. Did it make people give a shit about it? And was it memorable? Hell yeah, it was. And Goldberg and Hulk Hogan, I think people were going insane for it, and people were invested and loved it, and to me, that makes it a great fucking match.
Interesting. So yeah. it more has to do. And sometimes I'm like double T trying to figure out the, where you fall in the professional wrestling world, because sometimes you're like, oh, this is a technical match, I loved it. Sometimes you're like, oh, it's a fucking bloody gory match, I loved it. And then other times you're like, nah, I did fucking hate that. And you're like, whoa, wait, what? How did you hate that? And for you to say the reason why it's Goldberg's best match is it seems almost solely based on crowd level of interest, crowd reaction, which is, that's fair.
The crowd reaction and the crowd interest makes me excited to watch it.
Of course.
And of course. I'll always say, and I mentioned it last week. I didn't mention it last week, but I brought up this match last week. This is what Sting Hogan should have been 6 months before that. Sting Hogan at Starcade should have been 6 to 10 minutes of Sting beating the shit out of Hulk Hogan, and Hogan trying to cheat. Sting overcomes it. Sting pins him 1, 2, 3. That's what this match was.
So if Sting takes the belt from Hogan at Starrcade 6 months previously.
Which he did, technically.
Okay. Yeah, I suppose technically. I was going to say, yeah. Like if he carries the belt, you don't get to Goldberg Hogan at, you know, the Georgia Dome there.
Well, you might not need to at that point too.
Right.
Because if Sting does that, hopefully Sting stays as over as he was. Mm-hmm. I feel like that match was the beginning of the end of Sting. He wasn't the guy rappelling from the ceiling anymore, or, you know, untouchable, beating up 80 guys in the NWO with his bat or whatever. He just felt like a guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear that.
Yeah.
So I will agree with a couple of points here, Brundlefly. Is it Goldberg's best match? Probably from the standpoint of interest and crowd reaction. I don't like that the build. Do you remember how they put that match together?
It was, I don't even remember. I remember he had to beat Scott Hall earlier in the day or earlier in the night to get to Hulk Hogan. I think that might have been the opener of Nitro that night.
So
I don't remember what they did the week before to get him to there.
It was on goddamn Thunder.
Thunder. That's right.
J.J. Dillon came out and said that Hogan's contractually obligated to, you know, defend his title X amount of days, and he's going to defend this title against who he believes is the number one contender, Bill Goldberg. And everybody, it went irate, or not irate, everybody went nuts going, you know, yay for Goldberg. Match is made. Goldberg comes in. Obviously, Goldberg beats Hogan, which is okay. I still think. I want your opinion on this, because I know where I stand. It's my opinion. Is it a mistake to have Goldberg be an undefeated world champion?
No. Because they gave him that match at that point. Hogan, I think if Hogan beats him, it kills his push at that point. It's the same thing with Sting, where like it makes him feel like back down to earth. Maybe people don't care about him as much.
So what if Hogan?
It's kind of like Roddy, what we were talking about with Oba earlier in the day. Like, ride that fucking momentum. Why make him? Why have him lose at that point?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
People care.
No, I can see that. I can see that. I mean, I hate fucking Goldberg so much.
I know you do. Yeah.
He is fucking trash.
What's funny is I think his three best matches were in probably a 4 to 5 month period in that point.
Okay.
Is him and Hogan, him and DDP, and him and Raven, maybe like a week or two before that, had a pay-per-view at he fought Saturn at the pay-per-view. I think the Goldberg match was the next night on Nitro afterwards. And they had a hell of a match.
Interesting. Yeah. It's funny that you have the memories of the Goldberg matches, because
I was all in at that point on Goldberg.
I couldn't stand Goldberg. I hated when he ripped through the Flock for the US title. That fucking pissed me off.
I love the Flock too, but I was all in. I was hoping Raven would do a little more, but yeah, he didn't. He did a little more drugs after that. That's about it.
It's okay. Sometimes you gotta do drugs.
Yeah.
Sometimes you gotta watch BCW. You know how it goes. And you're not the giant. I know you're not a giant Goldberg guy per se.
I was back then. I've cooled on him over the years.
Okay. Okay. Good job, Brundlefly. Good job. we it's 28 years ago. Obviously, today we have Goldberg winning the world title off of the Hulkster in the Georgia Dome. Good for him. He's in front of his hometown crowd and all that kind of shit. That obviously helps. And I think that he was over pretty much everywhere at that point with a lot of fans, because he was a fucking car crash. He was, you know what I mean? He was a 2.5 minute collision. He walked away and it was over. And that was the experience. Now.
And it was the whole package too. It was the entrance. It was the theme music. It was him coming out. And, you know, him, like you said, the car crash, and then off he goes. Yeah. It was everything made him what he was.
Now I want to parlay this into another question I want to ask you, because like you said, you were all in on Goldberg at the time. And I wasn't. So 28 years ago today, we got Goldberg beating Hulkster, Georgia Dome, right? We fast forward, the streak ends. We know how the streak ends. Was that the right move, Brundle Fly?
It's hard to say, but I mean, Nash did have some momentum on him that point, but I think the fact that the streak ended and then the next week the finger poke of doom happened, mm-hmm. I think that makes people hate it even more.
Okay.
But I go back to, I always think Bobby Heenan had a lot to say about Goldberg losing.
Okay.
And he said Goldberg losing was the final nail in WCW. He said the fans loved him. He was over every place they went. It's like, why? If the fans still love him, why make him lose? He should have gone 300, his words. He should have gone 1,000-0.
Yeah, I remember him saying that, and I was so disappointed because I love Bobby, but I couldn't disagree with that, you know, anymore.
Oh,
you think?
I just want to show something real quick.
Yeah,
Al, if I win picks this year, maybe that'll be the punishment. No. Maybe I'll find a Goldberg temporary tattoo that you got to wear.
I don't think so. I am not getting a Goldberg tattoo, son of a bitch. I think that there's good thought behind having him continue to go, you know, undefeated. He was a car crash, and I don't think that, like, as soon as he loses, people didn't give a shit about him. You know what I mean? Like,
I think it was a mix of things. As soon as he loses, people didn't give a shit about him. He gets injured pretty soon after that, and then, you know, he's gone for a couple of months.
All right.
As he puts his fucking, was that that? Or no, it was later on when he puts his arm through the window. Yeah.
He's a dipshit. I don't know. I just don't. Folks
didn't lose that fucking metal pole.
I still don't believe that you should. Getting over by going over isn't going to do anything to serve you long term. And I think that's how he got over, was by getting over. And I think that we saw that it kind of crumbled. And again, not a Bill Goldberg fan. Never will be a Bill Goldberg fan. I think he's fucking trash. But for his time and place, it is an interesting thing to think about. Him going, continuing to go, you know, whatever, 300-0, like, but where's the competition? Where does the threat come? You know, like, there's different things that they have to think about in that long term there.
I mean, was it
Scotty Steiner? Is that what happens ultimately? Scotty Steiner, if he goes undefeated as the champion for another year.
Yeah.
Who do you build up for him to be a threat to Goldberg?
I think it was either Bret Hart or Scott Steiner.
Okay.
They were working with the Bret thing, and that was going to happen. And then, unfortunately, Owen passed away, and that killed that.
Yeah. That's Tropical says the match with Regal should tell you everything you need to know about Bill as a wrestler. he's absolutely right. Bill is a wrestler, fucking trash. I also like Bill outside of the ring. So Hank, he's fucking
trash. Yeah, yeah. The more interviews I hear, the more I'm like, yeah, that fucks.
He's a fucking dickhead. So not that Bret Hart isn't an old, sad, ornery sack of shit, because he is, but Goldberg's a fucking dickhead.
One of my favorite Twitter pages is, it's just titled, "Does Bret Hart Still Hate Bill Goldberg?" And every day it's, yes.
The answer is yes, man.
The answer is always yes.
Bruno Fly, we got a little bit of time left here. We'll do a little dealer's choice. Do you want to do? Yeah, you had a couple of things that you had scheduled, man. We can move off this Bill Goldberg talk, because that'll make me hard not having to talk about him anymore. Did you want to do the ranking, Bruno Fly? Did you want to do the cut? What do you want to do, man?
Let's do the game.
All right.
I think you're gonna like it too.
All right.
I tried this.
I like things.
the last time I was here for a two-man crew, I tried this game with Tony. I'm going to give you a house show, and you're going to try and name as many people as you can off the house show.
Got it.
Unfortunately, when I tried it with Tony, I didn't realize there were dual house shows that night. So he's naming me people, and I'm like, wow, surprisingly, this guy isn't on it.
Yeah.
Because he's in another fucking town, you moron.
He was on this the time, beat.
I made sure I triple checked. Okay. There's only one house show that night.
Okay.
So we are going to go back to WWF. Not E, WWF. January 31st, 1991. In Youngstown, Ohio, at the Beerly Station or Beagley Station or something like that center.
Okay. 91. Yeah.
So how there many? Are, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 matches on this.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. 91 house show. I'm going to do Mr. Perfect. In Youngstown, Ohio, seems right.
No Mr. Perfect on this one.
No Mr. Perfect. Don't count.
We're off to a great start.
Yep. Youngstown, Ohio, they need a champion. They need a Macho Man. Count it.
1991, Macho Man was not the champion. And was not on this one.
No, they just needed a champion. And he was.
Okay.
Yeah, he was going to fit that bill. Right.
Over two.
0 for 2, but we're going to say that Bret Hart was there because he's sure as shit was.
Sadly, we are not going to say that Bret Hart was there.
In Youngstown, Ohio, he wasn't there because, you know, who was fucking Undertaker. He was kicking ass all over.
Undertaker was there.
Yeah, and he was probably facing, you know, a guy like... Fuck. He was probably...
newly Undertaker. He's only... 2 months in at that point.
I'm going to say, yeah, that is a new Undertaker. He's probably got a guy like Dusty Rhodes. Well, he's not facing Dusty, but Dusty's there because Dusty's a Youngstown man.
Dusty is not there.
You're right. He's not because Ted DiBiase is.
Ted DiBiase is there.
Yeah, for sure.
Where the fuck was he? Yes, he was on the losing side.
Ted DiBiase was on the losing side. Because there was a tag team that had to be there, right?
There were two tag team matches on this one.
Okay. And one of the tag teams was the Nasty Boys.
That is correct. Nasty Boys, Jerry Sags and Brian Knobs.
And if Bret Hart wasn't there, that means that the Hart Foundation wasn't there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's probably accurate. But that doesn't mean that the Quebecers weren't there.
I don't think the Quebecers were in WWE at this point.
Well, it doesn't mean that
January 31st, 1991, they were. Okay. I don't believe so.
All right. It's all right. It's all right. Probably David was not there. Hold on. Let me pause on that one for a second there. Lost my train of thought. Fuck. Give me a little Power and Glory. Give me P&G.
No, surprisingly, Power and Glory were not on this one.
What the butt fuck?
Was it a little, maybe it was a little early for them, or are they gone? No. No, they were just at Survivor Series 90. Yeah. So
if P&G isn't there, that means that, boys, is the Tornado gone by this point? No. Tornado's there.
Tornado was the one that defeated Ted DiBiase.
All right.
Because like the that. Tornado at Survivor Series was was he IC champion at that point?
I don't think yet. I don't think so.
But it was very soon after that, if not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotta believe that he wasn't there, but I'm gonna throw it out there anyways. The Hulkster?
No Hulkster at this one.
I didn't think so. But you need it. Who's your star that they're packing in? Is it the Warrior?
The Warrior was on that card.
Fuck that. Mm-hmm. The Warrior was on that card because he probably had to face Sergeant Slaughter.
Boom. Sergeant Slaughter pulled double duty that day.
He double-dutied?
Yeah, in the main event, he defeated the Ultimate Warrior in a steel cage match.
Holy
to
shit.
Retain the WWE or WWF championship.
Wait, he worked twice on that card?
He worked twice on this one for some reason.
Who the fuck else could he have faced? The Boss Man?
No, not Boss Man. Not on this show.
Okay. The fuck else would have been there at that time that he would have faced that would have justified double duty? Oh, bro, if I got to look at my...
I'd be really interested in why he would do double duty, but...
Right.
I mean, he's a heel.
91... Quake? Quake on that card?
What's Quake on this one? Quake was not on this show.
Gotcha. Quake wasn't, but Jake was.
Surprisingly, no Jake either.
Man, this is not going the way I had to do.
Yeah, it was such a huge roster at this point.
Yeah.
It feels like there was another team, but not wrestling that night. Maybe they were going off to someplace.
Who the fuck? Double duty. Who else could Sergeant face? Warrior? Oh, is LOD? Is LOD there?
No LOD.
This sucks, Brundlefly. all right. Who do I have so far, by the way? Let's get out of that. Let's get that out of the way.
You have Sergeant Slaughter. You have one full match. You have two full matches. Texas Tornado overs Ted DiBiase. You have Sarge over the Warrior. You said Undertaker. Mm-hmm. So, and you said the Undertaker voice.
Is Undertaker doing something dumb like fucking facing Snuka or something?
No, not Snuka.
Okay, Coco Beware then probably.
Coco Beware is there, and he's losing, but not to the Undertaker.
Son of a bitch!
I mean, at least you got another guy.
Yeah. Oh, let me look at the Hasbros here. That'd be a good idea, huh? What do we got up there? I think Warlord is probably a possibility, right?
No Warlord, but you're getting closer with that one.
Like the Mountie is not there yet.
No, not yet.
Virgil?
Fuck no Virgil. No Virgil.
Okay. Whew, feel good about that now. No, Rick isn't. Is Rick there? No.
No Model. I was gonna say,
yeah. The Rockers. The fucking
the Rockers are there.
Fucking Rockers and the Nasties. Yeah.
Nope. That is not the match. Now, remember, I said there's two tag team matches. It wasn't the Rockers and Nasties.
Slam my dick in a door. All right. Anybody in the comments, help me out here. Just start throwing shit at me.
Yes.
What the okay. This is gonna give me something to go off here, Brundlefly, because I'm
all right.
I'm grasping here.
So
close with Warlord because Barbarian was there.
Barbarian defeats Coco in the opener. Yes.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right.
I think you can get the other tag teams because there wasn't a million tag teams there.
Not 91.
So Nasties and Rockers both won their matches.
Okay. Nobody faced the Bushwhackers.
Boom. That's one.
Okay. So somebody did face the Bushwhackers. Yeah.
Nasties defeated Butch and Luke.
Okay. Like that.
And then the Rockers beat a team that was probably on their way out pretty soon.
On their way out?
Yeah.
Not the Rougeos.
No.
Who would have been on their way out at this point? 91.
To give you another hint, mm-hmm. One of them holds a victory over you in WrestleFest.
Demolition? No.
Demolition.
Really? Smash and
Crush.
Oh, fuck yep. them. That's not
Axe, I think Axe is done at this point.
Yeah, you're probably yeah. right.
So they lost to the Rockers.
Demolition lost to the Rockers. That feels right. Yeah. Feels right. Jannetty probably picked up the pin over Crush. Yeah, I like that.
Probably not Crush.
probably
they knew they got big plans with him.
No, I had big plans for Jannetty.
So you got one full match left. Whoever it was in the other Slaughter match, and who beat the Undertaker beat.
Oh man, is the Beefcake? Is Beefer on there? Beefer's
no, he's a he. Where the fuck was he at this point? I don't remember. Someplace nobody cares.
Yeah, it's wherever that is. It's where Beefer is.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think who else could have been. Skitter's not there because he's not there
yet. No, not yet.
Mm-hmm. Saba Simba came back at the 92 Rumble, wasn't it? Or was it 91?
I think it was 92 he was back in. Yeah. So there's two guys left that were on one of the Survivor Series 90s teams.
Survivor Series 1990?
Yeah. I mean, that's my all-time favorite event.
Rugged Ronnie Garvin.
Was not on Survivor Series 90.
The name came to me. I had to run with it. Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Oh, Hacksaw defeats Sergeant Slaughter by countout earlier in the night.
Okay, that makes a little more sense.
Yeah, and then for some reason comes back against the Warrior at the end of the night.
Slaughter is kind of a stud for his time, man.
Yeah. And then another one of his teammates in Survivor Series 90.
Hacksaw's teammates?
Yeah.
Hacksaw didn't captain his team in 90, though.
No, he did not.
God, I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to visualize the 90 team.
That I rented on. Survivor Series 90 1,000 times as a kid.
90 was not the Ultimate Survival, correct?
That was the Ultimate Survival, yeah.
Fuck, that's my favorite Survivor Series too. I don't even remember Hacksaw being on the goddamn thing.
Yep.
He didn't captain his team.
No.
What team did he go against?
Against Earthquake's team.
This was not when all of them were running out with 2x4s.
No. That was, I think, the year before. It was like Hacksaw, Jim Neihardt, or maybe Bret Hart. I don't remember.
Yeah, because it was Bret and not Jim.
Jim was on the Warriors team.
Yeah.
And he got surrounded by that Warrior rope.
Man, this is not good times for me. What do we got? What do we got, Brundle Fly?
He was, I'll give you another hint. He was on, Axel was on Hogan's team. And he's the only guy left you haven't named on that team.
Well, that's fucking great. Who else could have been? Oh, man. I can't even remember the. It's not Tito, because Tito is on another team.
Yeah, Tito was the survivor of his team.
Yeah, because there's Tito, Hulkster, and I forget the other guy.
Warrior. Yeah, and Tito beats the Warlord really quickly, and then DiBiase knocks him out, and then Hogan and Warrior survive.
Fuck, man.
Man, I watch this a lot.
I think I watched the main event and the opening match the most out of that. And I think I just fucking fast forwarded through.
Was the opener the Warrior?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not. No, because that would have been the next year. Not Hot Rod. No.
No, Hot Rod was on commentary.
Right.
Yeah.
Give me another goddamn clue, man. I am going to punch
him.
Fuck me.
He was a good guy at that point, but not for long. Thanks to the Royal Rumble.
The Royal Rumble?
Yes.
And
2 weeks ago, we had a lot to say about this guy at King of the Ring.
The Tugger?
The Tugger loses to Undertaker.
The Tugger lost? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I've seen the Tugger and Undertaker in a match. They're on one of those bonus Coliseum video.
I wonder if it's this one.
I have no idea, but we laughed so hard. So I watched this while I used to be a manager at a video store. And there was like one of those Coliseum videos, you know, put the matches videos. And I had it because it was, you know, so tame compared to the wrestling at the time. I was able to watch those old videos while I was working at the video store. So it was in there. Mm-hmm. And I look over and Tugger or Taker's doing a leapfrog over Tugger. And Tugger fucking headbutts him right in the nads. And the Undertaker cannot react because he's the fucking Undertaker. And his balls are dead, right? So he can't react. Awesome, man. Awesome.
So yeah, Hulk Hogan, Jim Duggan, Tugger, and Boss Man. Man, so in 90.
Give me the rundown of the entire card now.
So right now, you have...
We got more, right?
There's one more match.
Fuck off!
Barbarian defeats Coco. Duggan defeats Slaughter by Countout. Nasties defeat the Bushwhackers. Tornado over DiBiase. Said match. Undertaker over Tugboat. Rockers over Demolition. And Slaughter over Warrior. So, I don't know if you'll get actually the second guy in this one.
Okay.
But one of the guys in this match was also in that Hulk Hogan Survivor Series 90 match on the other side.
Oh, great.
Friend of the Barbarian.
The Menger.
Haku.
Okay. And he probably faced Sam Houston.
No.
Okay. I was trying to say, like, in my head, I was like, somebody's going to be, you know. Would you be able to hint me this guy or no? Is this that obscure motherfucker?
You've seen, just because I know you're going to want to go to sleep soon. You've seen this guy's father-in-law's foot. And it was fucking gnarly.
B. Brian Blair?
Oh, fuck. No, his tag team partner. I forgot that was Brian Blair.
The Killer Bees is Jumpin' Jim Brunzel and
Jumpin' Jim Brunzel. Yep, that is the last match. Ming versus Jumpin' Jim Brunzel.
I forgot that Jumpin' Jim did shit after the kill. Like, I don't know.
Long time after the Killer Bees too.
Yeah. Jumpin' Jim Brunzel. He actually he sells cleaning products in Minnesota now.
Yeah, good for him.
It's a real story.
Hey, I believe it. Ming sold cars around there somewhere or someplace. So,
John North.
Jimmy Dundee.
John North.
No, Ming for a while did sell cars as well.
In Minnesota?
I don't know if it was in Minnesota, but he was a car salesman. John Nord, in Minnesota.
He's a fucking lemon. He was a lemon lot guy. So,
I mean, these guys, they're all fucking carnies. Why not sell cars?
Way now. Okay.
I mean, Freddie Blassie sold fucking cars, and he was great at it when he couldn't wrestle for about a year or so.
Freddie Blassie sold cars that could fuck?
I'm sure they could. Like Freddie Blassie could.
Yeah, you're damn right he could. Come here, let me show you the cane, honey. Brundlefly, anything else that we got to get to before we do the whole thing where we say, you know, sayonara, cocksucker?
I think that nails it. Just a couple of plugs. Yeah. Last week, July 4th, actually, I did a guest spot on Dirty South Wrestling Cajun Wrestling Podcast. Me and Marky Mark Marcus over there talked about Great American Bash 2006. That was a lot more fun of a card than I thought it would. It was a SmackDown only pay-per-view. But it was definitely a fun start, and then hit a Punjabi pit stop in the middle.
Oh, man, I could go for a little Punjabi. You said his name was Marky Mark Marcus?
Mark, his name is Marcus, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. I was like,
he was just on the week before. He was just on Kyle's podcast.
Oh, gotcha.
So we linked up and had a lot of fun.
Gotcha.
Just in time for 4th of July.
Yeah, that Punjabi. What else you got, Brundlefly? I didn't mean to
derail. Just all the plugs. Make sure if you're watching right now and you haven't hit that subscribe button, fucking do it. We're at 600 now. We're fucking happy. And we're on the road to 700. We'll eventually get there.
We'll get there. Yeah. Just hit that button, man. Just hit that
fucking button. It takes 2 seconds, and then go around your house and have everybody else sign in and hit their button as well. Yeah. Make sure you're subscribed, YouTube, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, buy a shirt from Pro Wrestling Tees, join the fucking Patreon, which will come up in a few seconds when we figure out how to set the ending up. Next week Tony and Matt will be back. I won't be here. I'll be in God's country.
I'm finding out about this now.
Maybe you weren't there when we did the roll call of places.
I don't fucking know, man.
Matt has it all. He knows it all.
Yeah, he's got the schedule.
Yeah. I'm guessing you'll be here next week.
I'll be here next week. I probably won't be wearing the glasses though.
Oh, that's too bad. I still say you look like X-Pac these days.
I don't look bad in these glasses. I'm going to say that right now. It's a hybrid between myself and Tony, which, I mean, how much more sex could you want?
I have a feeling that's what you've been shooting for forever. More Tony in you, the better.
Every night.
So you got anything else you want to plug before I attempt to do this?
Yeah, Brunofly and I, we just recorded an awesome Patreon show with the Rogue Indie Chronicles. Really had a great time doing it. Brunofly and I are always having fun. And if you're not listening to us on the Patreon, you can listen to Double T and Tony. They're doing the history. That was awesome stuff. That's all I got, Brundle Fly. Oh, Duke and I are still doing the Year of Duke and Rogue podcast. We're traveling through. It's going great. We're having a great time covering a really fun year in pro wrestling, doing that WrestleMania 14 to 15. Fucking awesome stuff. Really horny stuff, too. Really horny stuff. So,
That time of the year. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, if you're subscribed to us, check out the Shining Wizards Network, subscribe to all those shows, you know, Will and Tom, especially, to hear my questions every week. And, you know, another cheap plug there.
Yeah. Check out the network, man. Lots of good stuff. You got the
my
birthday buddy, Vincent Justin, they got the Inconclusive over there. They're doing stuff, right? Me and Tropical do stuff on the network. There used to be a show, or maybe there's still a show called Something About in Canada. Right? That's a show on the network, maybe. I don't know. There's a Radioactive show. That was on the network. I don't know if that's a thing or not. Mark Order. Who fucking knows?
They're probably
on the network if they're on the network. Check it out. Just have fun. Enjoy wrestling.
Yes. Enjoy wrestling. Enjoy all that. And I'm attempting to...
I'll take the shit down for you, Brundlefly. I'll take it down.
Yeah, I'm attempting to throw it in there.
Yeah, slide one in there, Brundlefly. I'll take this down too.
How you do it? I don't know.
Yeah, slide it in there, Brundlefly.
I'm trying.
I took everything off. All right. We're sitting here naked, Brundlefly. We're just waiting now.
I guessed. No, that's not it.
You just got to hit the thing, Brundlefly.
I don't have the thing up, HK.
Yeah, all right, hold on. Let me just, I'll do this, Brundlefly.
This has been a production of the Shining Wizards.
This has been a production of the Shining Wizards. Shining Wizards,
visit ShiningWizards.com. And don't forget to listen to all the great shows of the Shining Wizards Network.
All right, we would like to thank those that subscribe to us on Patreon. Executive Producer, Manny Crozzo, Kate Hensler, High Five Tom, Ryan Schlong, Al Day, Kathy Hummer, Michael Hammond, Keith Parker, David Henry Bauer III, Jesse Elwell, Emily Brock, and I Dunk Biscuits, and Roll also, who's not on this one.
Night, Diana.
Gwen Stefani, will you pee pee on me?
Bend over, let's have fun.